cutting out the fat.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. A few minutes from now, President Obama will officially order a crackdown on waste and cost overruns in government procurement. He'll sign a presidential memorandum seeking to, in the White House's words, reform our broken system of government contracting. The president estimates this will save up to $40 billion a year. Also today, the administration launches that new program to help borrowers stay in their homes. We'll tell you more about that in a moment. But first, here's a change. The Dow is up so far this morning, up 98 points, or 1.5%. The NASDAQ is up 22 points. That's 1.7%. And the S&P 500 also up 1.7%, or about 12 points. Asian markets were sharply higher on the day. European markets are up 2-3% at this hour. As I mentioned, the White House today kicks off a new program meant to help up to 9 million borrowers keep their homes. This is the plan that lets homeowners refinance mortgages or modify loans to lower monthly payments. Treasury has released guidelines to let lenders know how to enroll borrowers. Borrowers can find out whether they're eligible by logging onto a website. And there's a link to that site at marketplace.org. Another part of the program gives bankruptcy judges the ability to modify mortgages. That's quite a power. Last night, Democrats reached an agreement to reduce that power somewhat. Marketplace's Dan Gretsch reports.
It's being called the cram-down mortgage bill. That's because it crams a mortgage banks don't want down their throats. Right now, when a person can't pay the mortgage on their primary residence, banks hold all the cards. They can cut you a break on the loan, or they can foreclose on you. The bill in Congress would empower bankruptcy judges to step in. The judge could force the lender to cut the principal on a loan, lower the interest rate, or even extend the life of the loan. Real estate expert Elise Glink publishes thinkglink.com.
Nobody wants to go into bankruptcy court. This is a last-ditch place, but if it gets to this point, I think the judges need this mechanism to process these cases and get them through.
Banks have lobbied hard against the bill, and Congress has made some concessions. Homeowners must prove they tried unsuccessfully to work things out with the bank, and banks get a piece of the profits if the home is ever sold. The House could vote on the bill as early as tomorrow. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Of course, it's hard to meet your mortgage payments when you don't have a job. This morning, a survey of the private sector shows job cuts accelerated last month. ADP Employer Services tells us private employers cut 697,000 jobs in February, up 13.5% from January. And yes, that was worse than economists' expectations. Now, if you do get laid off, you are usually lucky to leave with a couple of weeks' pay. But here's a novel approach. Marketplace's Stacey Vanek Smith tells us about an ad agency that is investing in its workers even as they go out the door.
How's this for a resume enhancer? Your old employer pays your new employer half your first month's salary. That's the deal being offered by the Martin Agency, a Virginia-based advertising firm. It will pay up to $4,000 to companies that hire one of the two dozen workers it just laid off.
It seems like it's working very, very well.
Beth Riley Kelly is a partner at the Martin Agency.
We've gotten so many calls from employers who are bringing to our attention positions that they have at their companies that they think might be a match for our employees.
And there's more than money in it for prospective employers, says John Challenger, CEO of global outplacement firm Challenger Gray & Christmas.
It says to the hiring company, I can take a look at this person. It's not going to cost me anything. And if it's everything I thought it was going to be, then we can go ahead and turn it into a full-time job.
Even though it might make things a little more competitive for its ex-employees, the Martin Agency says it hopes other companies will follow its lead. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Microsoft, providing people-ready enterprise solutions, software based on how people really work.
Observers on both the right and the left are calling President Obama's new budget plan the end of an era. Obama's call for the rich to pay more to ease the burden on the middle and lower class is quite different from the philosophy established by Ronald Reagan. Commentator Robert Reich says Reagan's approach didn't exactly work out as planned.
After more than a quarter century, the era of Reaganomics is over, replaced by Obamanomics. The first principle of Reaganomics was that lower taxes on the wealthy made them work harder and invest more, and the benefits trickle down to everyone else. Rarely in economic history has a theory been tested in the real world and proven so wrong. Nothing trickled down. After the Reagan tax cuts, the median wage slowed, adjusted for inflation. After George W. Bush's tax cuts for the wealthy, the median wage actually dropped. Meanwhile, most of the income went to the top. In 1980, just before the Reagan Revolution, the richest 1% took home 9% of total national income. But by 2007, the richest 1% was taking home 22%. Obamanomics, by contrast, will increase taxes on the top, and it will use these proceeds to raise the living standards of average Americans by giving them lower taxes, better schools, and more affordable health insurance. Reaganomics' second principle was that deregulated markets function better. Well, energy markets were deregulated and we wound up with Enron. Carbon emissions weren't controlled and now we face global warming. Financial markets were deregulated and we have a global financial meltdown. Obamanomics, by contrast, accepts important roles for government, creating incentives for non-fossil-based energy, setting an overall cap on carbon emissions, and ensuring the solvency and security of financial companies. The third and least well-known principle of Reaganomics is that government can keep the economy moving full tilt by spending like crazy and not worrying too much about budget deficits. Reagan's big spending was on national defense. Some of us called it military Keynesianism. Problem was, it didn't stop when the economy got to capacity, thereby threatening inflation. Obama's stimulus intends to avoid inflation by reducing deficits as the nation moves back toward full capacity. Under Reaganomics, government is the problem. It can still be a problem, but Obamanomics at least recognizes there are even bigger problems out there that can't be solved without government.
Former Labor Secretary Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. The Dow was up 100 a few minutes ago. Now it's up a mere 1 point. It's 6,817. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke. Thanks for tuning in. Have a great Wednesday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.